Hey, let's look in Matthew chapter 1, continuing our series on victorious Christian living. And I want to do a lesson tonight, Victory Over Weak Faith, and we could entitle it Victory That Gives Us Strong Faith or whatever. We certainly want to grow and increase in our faith in our God. We shouldn't be coming, the longer that we're saved, we shouldn't be getting weaker, but we should be coming stronger and being able to give it, be a good example to others. But in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to put her away, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." What a great passage here. It's usually a Christmas passage that we read. And when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but the reaction of Joseph to what is going on and taking place gives us an example to study and look at as far as how to have great faith or strong faith or being able to overcome a weak faith. Many times people struggle with things that seem to be unbelievable in their life. It may be you're overwhelmed with a bill, or it might be a relationship that is broken down, or whatever it may be, but we just can't come to a place where we can have the faith to believe that God can move in spite of the circumstances and difficulties that we face in life. And certainly Joseph is facing a situation like that as he finds out that his wife that he is espoused to is with child. And certainly he has to be able to connect with God and experience a move of God in his heart that would build him up and strengthen him in his faith to believe that what is going to take place is actually going to take place, and understand it to the fullest of the comprehension of what God is going to do. And I think many times God brings us to places where we just absolutely cannot comprehend, nor can we explain how the situation is going to be resolved or how we're going to be able to get through it. But in those times is where God literally brings us to a place of having our faith increased as we see him intervene on our behalf. So Joseph discovers that his wife is with child, and there is no explanation for it. It is unbelievable. Now we know from the text here a couple things about Joseph. Number four there in your notes is he was an honorable man. And because it says that Joseph, being a just man, the word just there means to be righteous or committed to the divine law of God. And so he was a man that was honorable because he put value on what God said. And he trusted what the Lord had said. And certainly in dealing with this situation that he is confronted with his espoused wife being with child, he is mindful of the fact of what did the law of Moses state in dealing with a situation like this. And so he is going to approach it from that standpoint, from that vantage, if you will, that angle of how am I going to deal with this situation? And he was going to be honorable and how he would deal with this circumstance that is out of his control. And so he was a just man. And I think that speaks to us as we grow in our faith. We ought to be honorable in what we know of the Word, what we understand of God, and what we are aware of that Christ wants to do in our life, we need to handle the precious truths of the Word of God in an honorable way. So he was an honorable man. It says he was a just man. Notice number five there in your notes, he was a compassionate man, because it tells us in verse 19 that he was not willing to make her a public example. And so he was compassionate enough to know that, wait a minute, this is a devastating situation. Literally, knowing the law of Moses, he understood that her life was in danger, her life was in jeopardy. And so he was willing not to make of her a public example. So he loved her, he cared for her, he had compassion towards her. And so he is going to want to make sure that he approaches this situation in a faithful way, trusting God and believing God that even though he can't control what has happened, that he needs to show love towards his espoused wife, irregardless of that. So he is very honorable. He was very compassionate. We see also in here that he was a practical man. And so he says that he was a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And so he's in thinking through this whole process of what he just found out, humanly speaking, he wants to honor the law of God, and certainly he doesn't want to humiliate his wife by exposing her publicly. So in a practical sense, he said, well, wait, maybe I can deal with this privately, and I need to resolve this on my own. And so he was very practical in how he approached it. The problem is this: the thoughts of God are beyond our thoughts. And Isaiah tells us that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are above and higher than your thoughts. Amen. And God has something he wants to do and how he wants to move in our life that is beyond what we can comprehend. We kind of get this mindset, okay, this is who I am. This is where I live. This is what I want to accomplish. This is how I want to experience. And then 50 years from now, 60 years from now, I'll retire and everything will be wonderful in my life and nothing will be a problem or a struggle. And then all of a sudden, God steps in and shakes everything up. And then we think, well, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. Or we're like maybe the disciples when Jesus came in contact with the blind man. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And right away we think, well, there's a sin problem in my life, or there's a sin problem in somebody else's life. That's why we're experiencing this conflict and this struggle. And in all reality, God has thoughts towards us that are beyond what our thoughts are and what he wants to accomplish. Because he wants to build us in our faith to trust him and believe in him. Amen. And so our God, the thoughts of God are beyond our thoughts. But the way of God is beyond us. In other words, how God does things is not exactly how we would think it ought to be done. I don't know about you, but there's been situations in my life since I've been a Christian that God did some amazing things, but at the time, I'm thinking, that's not exactly how I would do that. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't think of, you know, going to Bible college with no job or, you know, no prospects of any job or anything else. But that's what God impressed on our hearts. And then we got there, we're settled in and had enough money to live for a month or two. And then you sit there and reality starts hitting and thinking, you know, I don't know if this was the right way to do this or not. And in all reality, though, God was putting us into a place immediately where we had to learn that we could trust God. Amen. And so oftentimes God's ways are completely foreign to the concept of what we can think through or plan for ourselves. And it's just amazing to see how God will take us. And at this point in Joseph's life, he really does need to have his faith increased. And God is going to work in his life and build his faith in this circumstance and situation that is totally, completely out of his control. And I believe we can learn from him as we allow God to intervene and work in our lives at different times to help us to see that he has a better way and a better plan to increase our faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's what Hebrews tells us. Whatsoever is not of faith, if it's not of faith, it doesn't please God. And so it does behoove us to want to, naturally long to, increase in our faith in trusting God. And look at these principles that Joseph experienced. In verse 20 is our text verse, says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So first of all, notice that he was strengthened by the revelation of God. And he's questioning what is going on. He's trying to figure out in his mind, in his thought process, of how he is going to be able to work out this circumstance in this situation. And God steps in and reveals something to him that he did not comprehend or understand prior to this event. And our faith is always strengthened by the revelation of God. And God has something to say to us and reveal to us in our times of struggle. Over in Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to be bouncing back and forth from Matthew 1 to other verses here in other passages. But in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1 and 2, we see the stress of offenses. It says in our text in verse 20 where we read in Matthew, he thought on these things. And when you face certain situations in life, offenses in life, it causes you to contemplate and think about what it is that you're facing. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and be cast in the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones." And in the context, we know he's dealing with this matter of being an offense to little children, because Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." But he confronts his disciples with the reality, listen, it is impossible, but offenses are going to come. Right. And certainly Joseph is dealing with a major offense here, because his wife is found with child, and it is an offense to God, what they look at the scriptures, of how to deal with this matter of being with child outside of marriage. And literally, Joseph is dealing with this thing. It's an offense to him. He sees this woman he's engaged to be married to, that she's supposed to be a virgin, supposed to be pure, but you know, she is with child. And so we need to be strengthened by the revelation of God in spite of the offenses, the stress of offenses that come in our life. Because what we do is the offenses cause us to think on the offense rather than trusting in the God who is going to build us in faith to get over the offense. And so we need to not be consumed with our own thoughts, but allow God to reveal himself to us in that situation. Notice also, it says that when he thought on these things, that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. So here's stability in our responses. And so if I don't just be stressed out because of the offense, but rather I seek God to give me a revelation of what it is he wants to do, then he will speak to me and give me stability in how I respond to this. Joseph had thought in his mind, this is how I'm going to respond to this, but God is going to reveal a different way. And so in verse 3 and 4 of Luke 17 says, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Now the natural response of man is, no, you offended me, and you said you repented, but where's the repentance? Because you did it again. 7 times now you've done it in one day. See, man's response is always going to be dependent upon the circumstances that he is facing. But when the Lord appears to us and the Lord reveals to us his will concerning the matter, now we can have a stable response that is always consistent with the way that God wants us to respond rather than we responding in the flesh rather than by faith. And so literally here we have stability in our response when there is strength that comes by the revelation of God. Notice there's strength in our confidences in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, I don't know about you, but when you figure what offenses do to you and how many times people can be an offense to you, it is easy to get to a place where you're saying, my flesh is not going to respond the way that God wants me to respond. So, Lord, I need you to increase my faith.
Amen.
Because if we don't walk by sight,
right,
we walk by faith. Amen. Joseph needs to make a decision here. Am I going to respond to the situation in faith, based on the revelation of God? Or am I going to respond to my flesh on how I want to deal with the hurt that I just experienced of my wife, in his mind, was being unfaithful to him? And so we have to respond, be strengthened in our confidences, in fact, that God will reveal what is actually going on, because the last sentence of verse 20 of Matthew 1 said, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So there was something miraculous, something divine, something that was supernatural that was taking place in the life of his espoused wife, and Joseph needed to be strengthened by the revelation of God. And so when circumstances seem to be out of your control, then you need to go to the Lord and ask God to reveal to you what it is that he wants to do in your life at that very moment. And I was just counseling with someone this week and some marital problems. And I know it was last week anyway. And doesn't matter anyway. They say it's a sign of old age when you worry about the details of what the time frame is. But anyway, I was counseling with them and their marital problems. And I told the person, I said, I'd never counsel anybody to get a divorce. And they looked at me and they said this, and I figured you were going to say that. But I don't. And there's too far many quote-unquote Christian counselors who are ready to say, get a divorce.
Right.
Because your situation is lousy, because it's this, that, or the other, whatever the situation may be. But wait a minute. If we can have faith to believe,
amen,
that God can do miraculous,
amen,
things, then we can be the stability and the source of sanctification in the home.
That's right.
By trusting God to make a revelation of what it is he wants to reveal of himself to us in that situation. You say, well, that's hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But it is difficult to take a stand with God by faith, depending on his revelation and his revelation only. But that's what Joseph did. He didn't divorce his wife. He didn't put her away privately. He didn't abuse her publicly, but rather he embraced her and took her to be his wife. And it was because his faith was increased, because it was strengthened by what God revealed. And I believe in every situation in our life that God will reveal himself to us,
right,
if we'll be willing to take the time to be alone with God and listen to what he has to say. And our faith will be stronger. So strength by revelation of God. Well, back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we see that we're secure in the salvation of God. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I think many times what we need to do is be willing to go back and embrace the salvation of God. If God is willing to save us, hallelujah, he's willing to save somebody else. And we cannot live our life with the assumption, well, so-and-so will never, this situation will never get straightened out because so-and-so will never be saved. Well, you know, understand there was people that were thinking that you would never get saved.
That's right.
And then you got saved.
Hey.
And so God is willing, not willing that any should perish, so God can save you. So there's security that builds my faith because of the fact I know that God still is in the business of delivering people and setting them free and saving them. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so how do we secure that concept of faith that believes to the saving of the soul? Our focus, we have to have the right focus. When the angel of the Lord is speaking to Joseph, he tells him, she shall bring forth a son. Notice the angel's not focusing on Mary. He's focusing on the son that is going to be born. And so security comes, faith is increased when we focus on the Son of God. That's why Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You cannot increase in your faith by reading books about psychology. You cannot increase in your faith by going and talking to people who are not even saved about how you should live. You increase in your faith by looking unto Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so I can be strong in the Lord. I can have faith that is increasing because I have a security in the salvation that I have because it is focused on Christ.
Amen.
Not only our focus, but he also deals with our Savior. So he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And so we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so that's who we look to and trust in. He is the finisher, the completer of our faith. And it's just not a name of a religious figure, but rather it's looking to Jesus as our literal Savior.
Amen.
And if I remind myself continually,
right,
that Jesus Christ is my Savior, he has set me free, he has delivered me, then he which has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times, people are overwhelmed with the stresses and trials and difficulties in life. They don't know how to deal with them because they stop focusing on Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now listen, if he can set your soul free from going to hell, he can take care of whatever struggle you're facing within this life.
That's right.
He is a deliverer. He is our Savior. But not only that, but he is our securer. He says that he shall save his people from their sins. And in chapter 12 of Hebrews, it says, was set before he, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And so he is the securer, he is the helper, he is the one who literally is the one who is there to meet our every need that we have. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 18, it says, for ye are not come to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that word should be not spoken to them anymore. He tells us this is not where we came. We did not come to Mount Sinai. We did not come to the place of fear and trembling because of the wrath and the word of God being revealed, but rather you get down into verse 24, and it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So we have a different relationship. We have a God who is a securer, who is a help in our time of need to deliver us from all things that we struggle with in our life. Certainly in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, for in him that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Why? Because he is the one who fulfilled the Old Testament, his blood sacrifice. He's taken us to a place of deliverance and setting us free. He endured the cross for that reason. If he did all that to help us to be saved and be delivered, then he will do more than that in helping you in your life. So my faith, I need him. I need to believe in him and trust him that he is going to be there to help me no matter what the circumstance is. Well, he's our interceder, intercessor. He intercedes on our behalf. And he said Jesus would come to save the people from their sins.
Amen.
In Hebrews 12, in verse 2, the last part of the verse, it tells us very clearly that he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
That's right. And oh, how we need to rejoice in the fact that we have a mediator, one defending us at the throne of God. And if he is ever interceding for me at the throne of God, then I don't, what in the world can man do to me? What in the world can I be overrun with in this life if I have such a Savior that literally has given me salvation and has never stopped defending me and interceding for me at the throne of God? And so we have our faith increased when we're secure in our salvation. That's why it's so important for people to realize that once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
You know, I marvel at people who believe you can lose your salvation because how can your faith increase?
Right.
If you say you have faith in a God who can't keep you saved, what kind of faith do you have? You have a floundering, wandering, tossed to and fro type of faith, but that's not the kind of faith we have. We have a faith that is secure in Christ because he has given us salvation that is eternal. Well, also Joseph would be solidified by the proclamation of God. His faith would be solidified by the proclamation of God. In verse 22 and 23, it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And so he is solidified. His faith to trust God is based upon the fact of what God has so proclaimed. That's why Hebrews 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What we believe in, how we live, is solidified, it's welded together, if you will, based on what God has so divinely proclaimed for us. Hebrews 10:23 tells us, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And so everything that I am, everything that I believe, everything that I hold to is based upon what God has said. So it's by divine inspiration. He said this was all fulfilled and done. Why? To fulfill what the prophet had spoken. It confirms the divine reality of the word of God, that God has divinely preserved his word and he has so proclaimed to us, he has breathed out to us everything that we need to know about faith and practice and living our Christian life, and we can trust him because he has taken such diligence and giving divine inspiration. Notice the profession of our faith. First of all, the profession of our faith is subjective. And the subjective means that it's whom we profess to be ours. In other words, everything that I am is dependent upon whom I declare as being mine. Our profession of our faith is in Jesus Christ. The objectivity of our faith is what one professes. In other words, it's not whom I profess, but it's also what I profess. So I receive Christ, I possess him, he possesses me, but it's by faith and believing in him is what I so declare to others. So we hold fast our profession of our faith, not wavering, for he is faithful.
Amen.
I'm subject to his ability to secure me, but I am objective in declaring about the fact that he does hold on to me. And so that by divine inspiration, everything that we are is based upon who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. So he says it was based upon what the prophet had said. So by divine inspiration, but also by divine incarnation, because it says that his name is Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel, we know, means God with us. And so we receive Christ. We believe God. We're secure in what he has said because of the fact that not only has he given to us his word, but he has sent to us his son. And because he has sent to us his son, then it gives me the ability not to waver in my faith, because it's not just what I read about in the Old Testament, but it's what I've seen fulfilled in the New Testament. And so I don't need to waver or bounce back and forth because of the fact that Emmanuel has come, God with us. It is integrity that is exercised. In other words, what God says, he performs. So Joseph, here he is, he's concerned about what is taking place. He's insecure about what is happening. He's trying to be honorable, respectful, and loving, and caring. But all he has a hold of is the law of Moses, which requires a woman that is caught in adultery to be stoned to death. But yet he wants to honor his God. And God says, oh, wait a minute, Joseph, there's more to this than what the law of Moses says. God's divine law was revealed through the prophets, but you need to understand God's divine presence will be fulfilled in my son who's going to be born of thy wife. And so places integrity on the things that Joseph knew of the Old Testament prophets, because now he's firsthand witnessing God fulfilling what he had said he would do. The integrity of I'm going to tell you, you can trust in the integrity of God.
Amen.
And so integrity exercise. But beyond that, it's deity revealed. God with us, his son Emmanuel is God with us. And so I need not to be wavering in my faith because God is ever present. And Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'll send the comforter that he may abide with thee forever. And the precious thing that we have that enables us to be strengthened in our faith is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, and yes, he was crucified, died, was buried, rose again, ascended up on high, but he has sent the person of the Holy Spirit to indwell every believer, so that deity is not just revealed in the integrity of what the Old Testament said, but deity is experienced because of the presence of God in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so why should I bounce back and forth, and why should I be constantly getting weak in my faith when we have all this that God has done for us in solidifying everything that we are? It all ties together. Now, some of these plugs for the microphones have been shortened out, and we've got new plugs and all that, and to fix those things, you have to solder the wires on. I tell you, you take that plug, and you take that wire, and you lay that wire on there, that plug, and there's no connection, there's nothing, it's not going to stay there. But you take and heat that little tab up on that plug and get it hot enough and get a little bit of solder to get on there, a blob of solder, and then you heat that up, and you put that wire on top of it, and it cools. You're not pulling that apart. It's solidified. It's secure. It's not going to change. It's not going to waver.
That's right.
And that's what Joseph is experiencing as God reveals to him what is taking place. He's saying, this is what the prophets had foretold of, and it is being fulfilled in your wife, in that she's going to bring forth her son, and his name's going to be called Emmanuel. So divine inspiration that is experienced through divine incarnation that develops, letter C, divine identification. God with us. That's what we are. We are a Christian. We are Christ-like. And because of that, we have Christ ever abiding in us. He is faithful, that promise. So when I face something that I can't control, I flee to the Savior.
Amen.
When I don't understand how I should respond, I trust in what God has said because he has spoken with integrity and confirmed it by the presence of his Son and the enduring indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And so I'm solidified by the proclamation of God. That's why I often say when you have a situation in your life, you don't know how to deal with it or don't know how to respond to it, get in the Word of God and find a promise from God.
Amen.
God will give you instruction and God will reveal to you what he wants to do at that very moment in your life, and you can depend on that. So solidified by the proclamation of God. My faith grows when it's solidified. Notice by standing by the observation of God. In verse 24 and 25 of our text in Matthew, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So there are a few things here about this matter of standing in reference to the observation of God. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 4, it says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so coming to a place of standing based on the fact, observing the reality that our faith is what gives us victory over this world. And I don't care, listen, I don't care what the circumstance is.
Amen.
I don't care what it is that's going on. It's our faith that gives us victory.
Amen.
In Philemon, the little book of Philemon, chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter, but verse 5 and 6 says, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So standing by the observation of God, knowing this, that our faith is what gives us the victory, and our faith, everything that we are and everything we can experience is based on the fact of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? How do we have our faith increased? By standing by the observation of God. First of all, you have faith to get up. Amen. It says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep. You know, sometimes we just need God to wake us up. I was talking to Mary Kylitz this morning. These kids were coming in. The school, and I always get tickled, these teenagers, you know, they walk in. I mean, they look like zombies. They really do. They're walking in. I always say, hey, good morning. How you doing, man? We wide awake this morning. If you get up, you're doing good. And I'm like, for crying out loud, I was a teenager. I didn't walk around moping like that. Now, I had 2 or 3 hours of milking cows before I went to school. So I had plenty of time to wake up. Amen. Here comes a farm story. Amen. But though I'm like, my goodness gracious, when I was 17 years old, we used to stay up late at night, and we never came home early. We were always out, and I'm not advocating that, but that's what I did. I wasn't saved, amen. But bless God, we get home 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We get up at 5 and milk cows and then go to school and come back and milk cows in the afternoon and ready to go out the next night. These kids can't get out of the one foot in front of the other. I felt like saying, good night, I'm almost 65 years old and I got more energy than that. It's high time for Christians to stop slumbering and sleeping and get up. Get up and meet with God. Get up and believe God. Get up and trust God. Stop moping around about being a Christian that's going through difficulties in your life. God is still on the throne. So he got up, man. He rose up from sleep. Notice not only faith to get up, but faith to obey. He got up and did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. You know, that's all faith is. It's just doing what God has told us to do. You often say obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told to do it, with a good attitude. You are not demonstrating faith when you grumble about what God says we're supposed to be. Faith is obedience to do what God has told us to do when he tells us to do it with the right attitude.
That's right.
Joseph didn't say, well, man, what do you mean? I mean, I'm an honorable man. Well, I'm going to keep the Old Testament. I mean, what are you talking about? I'm supposed to receive this woman. No. The angel said, you need to understand this woman that has been conceived of the Holy Ghost, and she's going to bring forth a son. This son's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Now get up and wake up and get moving. And Joseph said, okay.
Amen.
It's done. He had faith at that moment. He had faith at that moment to trust everything that was just revealed to him. So faith to get up, faith to obey, faith to commit. Notice it says, and he took unto him his wife. Faith to commit. Some people are like, well, I don't know if I want to teach Sunday school. I mean, that's just a lot of responsibility. I don't know if I do. Why don't you just have faith to commit? Well, I don't know whether I want to be a church member. I don't know whether I want to be baptized. I don't know if I'm going. Why don't we have faith just to commit? Well, I don't know how it's going to work out. Listen, just believe what God has said. Trust what he said and be faithful to commit to what God reveals he wants you to do. And he just got up and he took Mary to be his wife. Then faith to turn to Jesus. And he knew her not till he had brought forth. She had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. His faith directed him totally, completely to Jesus Christ. And when we have our focus on Christ, when we're committed to Christ, then it is a natural process of growing in faith. I just found this. The closer I get to the Lord, the more I trust him.
Amen.
I remember when Joanne and I first got married. One of the biggest things that really burdened my heart about getting married, scared me to death, was that she was going to be my wife and that was my responsibility to take care of her. Now, I don't know how she felt about it. I don't know if she was afraid to commit herself to me because I was like, wherever the wind was blowing, I was ready to go there. Matter of fact, I told her, I said, you know what? We can do a great honeymoon. I'm driving tractor and trailer. We can get a load going to Florida, and we get to Florida, we'll stay there for a week and see some things, and I'll get a load going to California, and we'll stay in California for a week or so, and then we'll get a load coming back. And she turned it down. Can you believe that? I mean, a paid vacation honeymoon. And she told me, she said, I'm not going to go on a honeymoon in no truck. And I was like, I don't understand what the problem is. That sounded like a good idea to me. But she had to have faith to commit herself to me. Amen. Some of the things was a scary thought. And still today, I still have ideas of doing things that are crazy. Amen. But we have to have faith to commit to the Lord, trust God, and we walk with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, your faith will increase.
That's right.
George Mueller said this, if we desire our faith to be strengthened, we should not shrink from opportunities where our faith may be tried. And therefore, through trial, be strengthened. Many a time, I believe a believer in Christ does not grow in their faith because they know if they step out to grab the opportunity faith has opened to them, it may bring with it a trial. And may I say, most of the time, it does. But it's through the trial that your faith is increased. And so we can overcome a weak faith. It's just simply coming like Joseph did, believing God, trusting God, drawing close to God, obeying what he said, and just responding to Christ. And I'm going to tell you, his faith was strong. And I know this, that God can give us strong faith if we'll come that way. Well, I hope that was a blessing to you. You can do a study in that. And look up some verses, and I know that'll help you in your faith walk with the Lord Jesus Christ.